comfortable and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Mick and Sophie Avery.
Avery, and welcome to Spirit's Work, the show that's designed to stretch your mind and broaden your understanding about life on Earth, life after death, and life in other dimensions. Each week, through our connection with our spirit friends, we discuss various topics of interest and take great pleasure in listening to those who continue to walk with us and watch over us. In the most natural way, we are able to cross the divide between our physical world and the non-physical world, but my husband Mick deep trance channels an enlightened spirit called Gregory Hay, who has access to great knowledge and wisdom. And this week's show is going to be, is this part four of Gregory's journey in the spirit world?
Yes.
I think it's part four.
I think you're right.
So it's been very exciting, and we're going to see where he goes next. So if you'd like to phone us with a question to Gregory tonight about his journey in the spirit world, about the spirit world in general, or anything that's interesting to you about this subject tonight — it's not a reading, okay, but to do with what we're talking about — then we'd love to hear from you. The number is a toll-free number. In the US, it's 877-876-5227, and Canada, it's 888-815-9756.
Hi, I'm Mick Avery. As well as Spirit's Work on the wonderful and ever-present bbsradio.com every Mondays at 7 p.m. and Thursdays at 1 p.m. PST, we have another radio show which is called Spirit Teaching, and you can hear that on artistfirst.com every Tuesday at 7 p.m. PST. If you'd like to know more about us, our books, CDs, book and Akashic reading, please go and visit our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com, or alternatively, visit spiritsworkradio.com. What we're able to do as spirit mediums is to offer you the spirit world's perspective on the nature of our existence. When I go into deep trance, Gregory Hay, who is the main spokesperson for an educational group in the spirit world called the White Cloud Group, will borrow my body for the duration of the show. That's the whole show and nothing but the show. And I won't know about anything else that happens, because my spirit and my consciousness are transported to somewhere else. And like I say, do look at our websites for a better understanding of how we work and what we do for the spirit world. And I'll say goodbye for this week, and it should only take a few seconds, I think, for Gregory to come through. And so I'm going to say goodbye. Goodbye.
Thank you.
Hey, this is Sylvie now, then.
Yes. Gregory had an earth life 300 years ago, but has continued to learn and evolve in the spirit world. And now he comes back to share his wisdom with us for our benefit. The White Cloud Group, whom he represents, were formed to bring us knowledge that will hopefully steer us toward a more peaceful and harmonious future. They are made up of all kinds of scientific minds and scholars from all walks of life, as well as ordinary people. The information we bring you is without religious bias or political persuasion, and we believe in everyone's right to their own views and beliefs. So I'd just like to say, actually, before I bring Gregory on, is that on this Sunday, 14th of October, 11 o'clock till 5 o'clock, we've got an all-day workshop at Spirit Feathers Boutique, and it's a New Age shop in Selwood in Portland. We are going to be doing, we're going to be exploring trance and the altered states of consciousness in this workshop. So even if you don't want to be a trance medium or even want to do trance, there's going to be something for you, because we will be going at your pace, individual pace, and there'll be lots of exercises. What we'll be doing, we'll be learning, and also hands-on experience. So we're going to be doing some meditations, and we're just going to have a really fun day. So if you are in the Portland area, on Sunday, 11 to 5, Spirit Feathers, Selwood, Portland. And if you would like to know anything about that, learn more about that, get some information, or even book a place, although I don't know if it should sell out because there's plenty of room. You can get in touch with us on www.spirit-teaching.com, and, or you can just email us on enq@spirit-teaching.com. So.
Hello, friend.
Hello, Gregory.
Hello. I do believe, my friend, it's on Saturday.
No, I think it's Sunday.
Oh. Well, very well.
No, I think this one's Sunday.
Very well, then.
Hey, look on my website, folks, but I think so. Is that why... Well, you didn't have your eyes open, but you were looking at... I could tell you were looking at me funny.
Yes, I had that curious look
about
me.
I was reading my little list of instructions there, thinking, oh, gosh, I've done something wrong. Anyway.
Yes.
Okay?
Well, very well.
Anyway, how are you?
Hello, I am Gregory Hay of the White Cloud Group, and I'm perfectly well, thank you, even though I was decapitated and have the removal of my right hand at the point of my passing.
Okay, so we're going to be continuing with your journey in the spirit world.
Yes.
And that's where we started it, really, wasn't it? We started with your death and what happened after that, when your mother came to greet you and meet you and take you to the Halls of Learning. She took you to the Halls of Learning. And then we've spent a few weeks in the Halls of Learning on our show. And I do believe that we're going to be moving on from there today.
Yes, quite so.
But I'd just like to ask you, how long were you in our Earth years in the Halls of Learning before you did move on? I know you're going to tell us what happened. But how long were you there?
Weeks, in the Halls months, of Learning before days. I moved on, let us see now. I do believe in relation to your time on life, that it was really, to begin with, my first visit was of just some 12 to 14 days. It wasn't very long, really.
Okay, right.
But you must understand that the situation for anyone in the spirit world is quite different to that of physical life, because you do not have the same trappings of the consciousness of breathing and that kind of thing. So it means to say that time doesn't pass in the equal measured ways that you, as a physical being, encounter physical life. And that was something, I suppose, that I remarked about, because it was as though, for much of my life in the spirit world, it was as though that time really just didn't matter. In a sense, it was as though it stood still. It was as though I could see all life moving before me.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can imagine actually glimpsing for a moment and registering everything around you all at once. If you look and take a slice of your own memory and think about what it was that you enjoyed about a certain time, perhaps it was a vista or an image or something that you saw, some portion of your life that you just captured and it's sacred to your life and you remember it, but you don't remember seeing all of the molecules in the air. You don't remember the insects or the butterflies that you see, or even the inherent sounds of the birds as they sing, or the rustling of trees as the wind blows through them, shaking their leaves. It is not that kind of memory that you recall so vividly and so instantly in your consciousness. And yet, when you live it in the spirit world, it is just like that. Everything is so vivid, and a constant memory, a constant understanding of creativity as well, and recognition of the creativity that sets there before you. Of course, I talk from this position of the fact that I never actually did anything wrong in my physical life, so I didn't have to apologize for the things that I did in my physical life, because I didn't actually have an angry bone.
Yes, right, okay.
And I did not have sour words, or others either. I really just took everything in my stride, in my walk of life, because I could see that there were so many possibilities open to me, wide-eyed, I suppose you could say.
Even though you didn't have much in the material sense.
Yes,
you were quite
really
happy with what you, with your lot, as it were. You know,
well,
you didn't
yes
have a bed to sleep on, did you?
No, I did not. But that wasn't the point of it. The point of it was that I could see all of the beauty that I could see. That was a part of my life.
Was it, I know life was even harder for you then, in some ways, in a lot of ways, even though you actually wouldn't, you say it's hard for us now as well, but it's different.
Yes.
It's in a different way. So is it, would it be easier to be happy, say, for instance, particularly if you were comfortably off, but, you know, you didn't have to be wealthy, but just comfortable, so you didn't want for food, for instance, warmth and that sort of thing. Would it be easier to be happy then than now by just being comfortable?
Well, I do suppose so, although I recognize that there are many, so many souls in physical life who have none of those and who perish in great poverty. And I am always reminded of them, how even as the poor person that I was, that I still remember that at least I had a roof, and my father kept that roof over our heads for the huge amounts of labor-intensive states that he became embroiled in his life. He was a person who never said never, and that everything was possible. A person I shall always remember for his complete and vivid dedication to one of service to others, as well as his really, I suppose, pragmatic approach to keeping the wolf from the door, as it were.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and of course you still see him now anyway, don't you, periodically?
Yes, from time to time. Mm. Although he has very much his own life. Mm. Just because he is my father of physical matter, it does not mean to say that I am beholden to him any more than I am to my physical mother. We see one another from time to time. And that is as it should be, because we do not live within one another's circle.
Mm, I see. Hello, caller.
Hi, I have some questions.
Oh, hello. What's your name?
For a while. My name is Susan. I'm a good friend of John's in Indiana.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah,
hello.
So he turned me on to you guys some time ago, and I've been listening on and off for quite a while, and I'm fascinated.
That's great.
I have a couple of questions, okay?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, there's a couple of people who I believe that I have a twin. And this twin committed suicide by jumping out of a window of a building. And I want to know what you think about that, because I thought that, see, I was on a bus and I had a sniper bullet just almost graze me, and I was warned of it by spirit that it was going to graze me and to turn my head. And I believe that I was saved by a shamanistic interference. I mean, not interference. What's the word? I guess it would be grace.
Yes.
You know, and I think it has something to do with Jim Morrison, because I spouted Jim Morrison poetry after that for a little while and got everybody calm, and the bus started, you know, going again. And I had always thought that maybe that because of the trauma of the, not getting hit, I didn't get hit by the bullet, that I had split off into two bodies, and maybe one of the bodies went with me, you know, as I know my life to be now, and one of the bodies went to this hotel where I wound up committing suicide and meeting these people and having a couple of affairs. But now my mind is more open to the sense that when I listen to you guys, you keep talking about that there might be twins. And this person I got the death certificate for, and it has the same name as me. It was in the newspaper. And but it was 5 years older than me. I just wondered what you all thought about all this.
Yes, quite a strange situation, my dear friend. I cannot actually look at your condition quite simply because I don't have your date of birth or name at birth, and that I do not have the full facts of your Akashic book to hand, because we need some day's notice in order to supply that. It's not something, contrary to popular belief, it is not something which is readily available in your auric field, although some situations of your life experience have been in your auric field. However, my friend, I have to say that if you are actually a twin of someone or a twin soul of someone, that means to say that you are actually from the same soul group, and that in actual fact, it means that you are very like-minded people, in fact, completely, almost, as though you couldn't even drive a piece of paper between you. And the
would there be a resemblance where the people would think that I was the same person?
Oh, yes, quite so. Do not forget. Oh, yes, absolutely so, my dear friend. What you must not forget is the fact that there are many situations to do with genetic mutation that actually become as throwbacks of different families, so that you may well have that you yourself are from one specific family, and yet there may well be another family of the same name who exist and who actually are genetically very close to you. Now, there is no reason to suppose that due to the state of evolution and mutation that you would ordinarily come out the same as someone else born of a similar time field or of a similar genetic era. So please do understand me, and please do stop me if you do not understand any of this explanation.
I do follow you.
Yes, but what I'm saying, you see, is because of the fact that you were both born of the same genetic era, it means to say that the evolutionary tracy was the same. And it means to say, now, I have heard it before that people have said, oh, well, yes, this must be a reincarnation of this certain fellow because it looks exactly like them. Well, actually, that's just a mutation and a DNA specific due to the evolutionary processes of physical matter. It isn't anything to do with the fact of whether the consciousness of someone is a reincarnation of someone else just because they look the same. That's a complete
fallacy. We did the same activity. We were both writers.
Well, yes, of course. That's the point that I'm trying to say, though, friend. It's actually because you were most probably from the same soul group. It's not that you were specifically tied in the way of the origins of your physical state. Although, I have to say, in your situation, you were tied to them in the origins of your physical state. So it means to say that you were actually related, but the family situation was at variance to yours. So you were from the same family, but from different strands of the same family.
I see. Well, thank you so very much.
Okay.
Now I want to learn more about the halls of learning.
Yes, okay.
Yes, quite so. Thank you so very much, my dear friend.
Thanks, Sue.
You're so welcome. Thank you so very much.
Thank you.
Yes, God bless.
God bless.
Okay, goodbye now.
Bye.
Yes, my dear friend. That is quite an interesting concept, in fact, because you can have people. Do not forget that when you are looking at your own genetic family and the structure of that genetic family, you may then look back into the history of that family, and you say, ah, yes, well, there's this branch and that branch of the genetic family, and, of course, they interacted with other members of other genetic groups. And that, in some situations and instances, brings about a facsimile of yourself. And it's quite simply because of the mutation which is due to the very different stratas and influences from genetic parentage. But because of the fact that each one of you is related, in any event, it means to say that the same properties of DNA do exist within one another. It doesn't mean to say that you're not individual. You are, of course. But that it is a possibility for the same genetic mutation to happen at exactly the same moment or within the same span of time of the genetic history of that family, quite simply because of the proximity, and that it means to say that both strands of that DNA have come to the same arrangement at the same time. one might call it a bit of a fluke, I suppose, physically that it happened,
mm-hmm.
but actually also then targeted upon that means to say that the both children actually grow up the same, with the same thoughts, the same language, the same instruction, the same structure of their thought identity and process, the way that they actually bring things together, and even the same interests or hobbies that they have actually appear to be that they are both the same people,
mm-hmm.
but one person. But they're actually not the same people.
Mm.
They're just very from the same soul group. And that means that they are having this much greater destiny period between the two of them. You see, so it means to say that you actually have a target, what we would call the target principle, which means to say that both families are at the same junction of DNA and at the same heightened state of evolution that occurred within that being, and because of the vibration of the both individual spirits coming and having a physical life existence at that time. And as you say, in this situation it was 5 years apart, but in actual fact that one was 5 years older than the other meant no difference at all. Unfortunately, of course, one passed by committing suicide, sadly. But that for the other, the situation was a near experience. Almost like a near-death experience,
mm-hmm.
in that regard,
yeah,
I suppose.
Yeah. That's very interesting. Yes, absolutely. And you were actually talking about that, about saying that we don't, just because we're genetically linked through birth like that we don't actually stay necessarily with our parents or siblings or whatever in the spirit world, because that was just
no.
the experience that we shared together. There will always be that link there, but
of course, with the love situation that was created in your physical environment, of course,
mm.
absolutely. But what you have to understand, however, is that to all intents and purposes, that for many people, they do not actually comprehend the fact that just because you are within great situations of love in the physical understanding of it, it doesn't mean to say that you are tied to that person for eternity.
Well, the thing is, even here, we don't, you know, we get to a certain age and we fly the nest and we create our own family and do our own things. We don't live with each other for
yes.
the rest of our lives. We don't go on holiday with each other. We don't even spend Christmas with each other a lot of the time anymore, or special
no.
occasions.
Well, at least the majority of
yes,
people don't, and you actually regard people who do as being a little eccentric.
But do you know what I mean? So why
yes.
would we stay with each other all of the time in the spirit world?
Well, quite so.
You know, here, we don't live in each other's pockets, so why would we there?
Yes.
When you can see each other when you want anyway, which is the same on Earth.
Yes, but of course in the spirit world you can do it at the speed of thought.
And a lot
rather
easier.
Rather than actually having to catch a bus or train or plane or whatever it
absolutely,
is
yeah.
to be on the other side of the physical planet.
Yeah.
You just have to think it.
Yeah.
Which is, of course, something of quite a difference to do with the spirit world. I understand that many people cannot really quite grasp the intonation of this, what this really truly means, because you are having a physical life in existence. And this in itself means to say that you are struggling with the combination of forces which exert upon you as physical beings and mean that your innate structure, being physical, is somewhat tepid. It's somewhat struggling, really, in the environment in which you live. Or it all depends upon your physical state of maturity, or whether all of your physical interactivity is intact, even. Perhaps you may have been not as blessed as others about your mutation, and the mutation did not turn out to be as perfect as you would have wanted, so that your physical body perhaps is not as, well, I suppose, complete as everyone else is around you. And so does that mean to say then that you are deficient? Does it mean to say that you are having such a bad time with your own physical state that you will cloud your judgment, and that you will possibly make problems for your ensuing life in the spirit world, because, of course, you won't have your physical body to contend with. Well, that is, unless, of course, you keep marshalled to it or tied to your physical body. A lot of people do that as well, of course, when they come to our side of life. They don't necessarily understand that they can actually just forget, leave their physical body away and just actually live a more beautified existence, if you like, in the tranquil setting of your spirit destiny, which is something of a much more enigmatic principle, I suppose, quite simply because you would see yourself as not the being that you are now in the physical existence, in the breath that you take, but that in the spirit world you see yourself as something of a possibility. And that possibility is something that seems to be ever-growing in the mind, in the consciousness, because you gradually allow the past thoughts of your physical ineptitude or whatever that you created, or perhaps people telling you that you were no good or that you were not a reasonable being or something like that, that you actually gravitate away from that and you begin to understand that you can really do so much more to your life than you ever thought possible in the physical reality. This does not mean to say that we're asking you all to come to our side of life. Oh, no, oh no. You have to live about your life and you have to make the best fist of it that you most possibly can.
Well, yes, I mean, when I think of, and I'm sure everybody can think of times in their life that they felt, well, I don't really want to go on, this is just awful.
Yes.
And then when, if you think about those really bad feelings of depression or whatever it is that you went through, and where you are now, well, you wouldn't have met all and done all the wonderful things, met the lovely people that you know now.
Well,
so it is a passing thing, and we're not here that long, really. I'm sure we would all regret jumping ship.
Yes, and of course the point is about that, that people always tend to have the thoughts in their physical life that they're going to regret so much about their physical journey, and that is going to be something that looms fast and furious in their run-up to their physical passing, that they're actually going to dread being in the spirit world, perhaps even if they realize that it's a part of their existence, that they're actually going to regret being there because of all of the things that they never did.
Yeah, right.
And that as well, of course, is something which really just melts away in the spirit world, if you give it half the chance. Of course, there are many in the spirit world who don't give it half a chance at all, and they actually become rather somewhat fixed in the climate of their reality.
Well, you're listening to Spirit's Work, and this is Spirit Guide Gregory Hay, channeled by Deep Trance Medium McAvery. And we're talking about the spirit world and actually Gregory's journey in the spirit world, but we haven't actually got there yet, have we?
No, so, well, the situation
is all fascinating anyway,
yes.
And I'd just like to say, if
absolutely,
you want to phone us with a question, it's toll-free in the US, 877-876-5227, and Canada, it's 888-815-9756.
Yes, I would actually like to talk about this situation that actually came upon me, and because maybe that many people don't actually realize, but that, you see, when I had a physical life, I was quite a sheltered being in many respects. I went to the seaside at times, to the north of where we lived in Swaffham, and that actually that was really to do with the times that I spent with my cousin Ham, and that the situation around this state of life was that I remember that I ate fish and crabs at the time that I visited him, because he lived on the coast. And but that for much of my life I did not really see that many beings other than human beings and the occasional deer, chickens and goats and pigs and that kind of thing, but not very much else really in terms of wildlife. But actually, one of the things that has enthralled me so has been the fact that I can actually have conscious meeting with many different beings and creatures in the spirit world. Particularly, I have to say, in the halls of learning. Yes, it does happen outside of the halls of learning, but that's usually to the grace of someone's individual consciousness. So if you were a person who was a hunter, shall we say, and that you shot a lot of animals in the physical reality, you're not going to be graced with those animals in the spirit world, because quite simply you were not perhaps of a logical thinking being. Perhaps it was, I agree, that you may have shot them for food, in which case I understand that motive. But if you were doing something for pleasure, for the pure pleasure of doing it, well, that is something that animals do not have to attest to in their physical lives. They don't eat and kill. They do not kill other beings for the joy of doing it. They do it because they want to eat them.
Because they have to.
Because they have to. Because they don't have other means. They agreed, some or many rather, are vegetarian. And for those ones who are vegetarian and they don't actually take other physical life, they are actually leading quite blessed lives. There's quite a large situation to do with certain forms of animals who have always been, throughout their lifetime experience and throughout the countless eons of evolutionary practice, have been of a vegetarian state.
Mm-hmm.
And in which case it's quite interesting to note that those beings who are usually fight or flight animals, that they in fact have equal or greater spiritual identity than many of their carnivorous neighbors.
That's interesting. Including human beings, presumably.
Oh, well, yes, of course. I have always said, if you wish to attain enlightenment in this physical lifetime, you would not eat meat.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, but that's to say that that is to do with your identity, and that is who you wish to be. So if you don't wish to reach enlightenment and wish to eat meat, then you have to take that as a part of your voyage home, in which case, of course, the situation to do with your life in the spirit world will be considerably different until you have asked for and received the forgiveness that you desire and that the animals desire that you have eaten in your life. And that's exactly the same, my friends, as beings like lions, tigers, or any other creature born of the physical motivation through evolutionary practices that are born to type. And so a lion cub will always eat meat, quite simply, because that is the way its digestive system works, and it's the way in which their instinctive behavior of physical life continues to endure them in that physical life. That doesn't mean to say that you cannot feed a lion potatoes.
So how does that work with human beings then? Because, you know, people say, well, you know, look at these teeth, you can see my digestive system. And you can see, we are supposed to be eating meat.
Well, actually, you're supposed to be omnivorous.
Okay.
Human beings. The point is, of course, that is a part of your animal genetic heritage. And I know that there are many physical beings who would say, ah, no, but we're not animals. We're set above animals. We cannot possibly be linked to animals. Quite simply because we are made in the likeness of God, and therefore we must be above all other animals, and animals must be for the service of our own makeup. Is that not correct?
Yes, that would ring a bell.
Now, of course, but what you are actually observing here is that you have the genetic makeup of your physical state through the evolutionary process. As I said at the beginning, your evolutionary process began with one family split into five groups, and those five groups each had a different leaning, each had a different system. in their evolutionary tree of life that they actually became locked into. And some actually became herbivores. They did not eat meat. So this is actually something that has evolved over a period of time through the necessities of evolution or the instinctive states that have driven human beings, animals, the animal known as human beings, to actually live in that way. And of course, as I said, the interaction between other beings from other worlds, notably, of course, certain OPACs or whomsoever it was, that these interrelationships have meant that they have actually provided human beings, the current race of Cro-Magnons or whoever, Homo sapiens, that these different races actually began to utilize the situation of eating meat as a part of their course of life. However, of course, you also have situations in places like India where they don't eat meat at all. Some cultures or some tribes, that is, have completely abstained from meat, yet they still have the same teeth.
True, yes, yes.
They don't just chew vegetation with their gums. They still have the same teeth, the same structure.
But I presume somebody that the type of person I was talking about would say, yes, but that's now.
No, it isn't now. It was something that they always did. In fact, some structures of society in the Indian continent were that they were always vegetarian. And they remained vegetarian for approximately 4 million years. So that doesn't actually bear a part of that evolutionary
state. And would that, so that doesn't change. Their teeth, for instance, we're talking about, but that wouldn't change if everybody on the planet were vegetarian for millions of years. Would this change?
Well, there is no reason why it should, quite simply because you still have to have teeth in order to bite through food. And of
canines,
course, this,
yes,
absolutely so. And this would be exactly the same if you were biting through fruit or apples or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I am well aware that there are certain patterns to do with, shall we say, lowland or highland gorillas or something like that, which actually have slightly different patinations of their teeth, quite simply because it's because of their mastication is a more rotary situation. And that actually has a different bearing upon how their teeth are made up. If their bite was purely up and down or with only a slight shift from side to side, their teeth shape and the way that they have evolved would be quite different. So it's really to do with the structure of muscles and those kinds of integrity which actually enabled the teeth to be of a specific shape or destiny. Take a horse, for example, the front teeth are protruding outwards, pointing outwards in a very specific way. That is for ripping the plants up from or away from the parent plant, the leaves from the parent plant. And if you look at the back teeth, they are large round molars which actually subsist purely upon eating certain kinds of plant food which will keep them ordinarily shaved down. Whereas elephants, for example, are not ever able to shave their teeth. In which case, that when they actually finish growing teeth altogether and eventually lose them all, they just pass because they've lost all their teeth.
Going back to horses, though, they haven't got canines and they don't eat meat.
No, exactly so. And they've never eaten meat, the same as zebras have never eaten meat.
So that's the correlation, though, between the vegetarian diet that I think people think about as
yes,
human beings.
Yes, I understand that. But at the same time, there are other forms, of course, of monkey that eat both, that are omnivorous and that eat both. Now, so what am I saying about this to do with the spirit world and to do with the halls of learning is really to do with the fact that in the halls of learning, once I was there, I just couldn't stop looking. I was very reluctant to be dragged away to do anything else. In fact, so fascinating a place was it. It was a bit like, I suppose, you have in this present modern day many places of great historical and factual interest to do with the beings of your planet. Museums and that kind of thing. You have, unfortunately, many stuffed animals which grace the presence of museums. But at least they are the reminders of the diversity and the beauty of the natural world and the way that the world had been in even millions of years ago. And the possibilities of that are that, of course, actually, when I was alive, we didn't have any of that. We only relied upon the animals that we saw in our daily life. And so for many of us, once we came to the spirit world and we actually saw and looked in awe at the very creatures that were around of us, I'm saying this quite simply. Yes, of course, when I was alive, I did eat meat of a certain type and form. I remember many a merry evening of eating food with my father after a hard day's work in the field, and the situations that befell us at that time. But I can also say with hand on heart, if I had one, that the situation would be that I remembered all of those beings that I ate my way through in my physical life. And it's something that just came to me when I passed.
Did you actually come face to face with these animals?
With some of them, yes.
Mm.
I did.
And then you had to apologize.
I did. And I really meant it, of course.
Mm.
Because if I hadn't, I would not be where I am now. And that's the point to remember as well, that for all of you people who are in this state of searching for knowledge and searching for truth, you have to understand that the state of your mind and the way that you are living your physical life, if you want to use the things that are available to you, then you have to take the understanding that this is a part of your pathway, and that if you want to do this, it is your free will, of course, to do that. But don't forget that you have to ask for the forgiveness of those that you may wrong, particularly, as I say, if you create situations out of your own fascination or desire for being, how can I say, entertained.
Getting enjoyment out of another animal's death or something like that.
Yes, so am I also then including the eating of food? That's a form of entertainment, or at least it's become a form of entertainment at this present time in your field of life. But I suppose that what you are actually doing is you are taking a product of the normal physical life and trying to make it into some kind of vicarious attitude towards that situation, just quite simply because you want to feel better about the way that you are and the way that you live. Of course, yes, I'm a loving being. Of course, why wouldn't I? I'm still eating this lamb, but I'm a loving being.
Mm-hmm.
It's whether you correlate between what your physical life journey is and how you can transform your spirit and the relationship of your physical state to your spirit in your physical journey. If you cannot do that, if you cannot reconcile these differences, then perhaps it is something which is just too difficult for you. And it means to say that you have not actually come to the point of whether you actually truly recognize it or not. If, on the other hand, you can see the error, or that you can see that the situation that you are doing is hurtful or harmful to the planet or something else, and yet you're doing it anyway, then that means to say that if you are being hurtful to the planet, then you are being only hurtful to yourself, because you're keeping yourself back. You are diminishing your vibration.
Would you say that we can live healthily, a healthy diet and a healthy life, by not eating meat? Can we get everything that we're supposed to be getting for our body?
It is difficult. I understand. It is difficult. But the possibility does exist. I do not believe, however, that because of the situation of human physical life as it exists today, that you will necessarily have all of the benefits accrue to you by the vegetation that you eat, quite simply because there are so many other pressures, and that the diminishment of your psychological state in trying to move your way through this predicament of food sources would mean to say that perhaps it places you at odds, at extreme odds with your society or with your environment. Many people, we can see, take the easier option, quite because it is too complex for them to cope with that as well as just trying to stay alive. So by just merely trying to stay alive, you are more willing to eat almost anything, regardless of its origin. However, I'm saying, though, that this isn't to say that we're making judgments upon anyone. You must make that decision yourself, to do with your consciousness, maybe, to do with your walk of life, the spirituality, or the assessment that you would wish to make of your life.
Well, I do think, though, that, like I said, that for to actually get a proper diet without eating meat, if that is possible, then I think a lot of people would. But I do think that it is very difficult to be able to do that.
Of course, because the marketplace in which you live at present, it does not adhere to it, does not recognize it as a possible factor in the deliverance of a well-being to a nation or to a community or something like that. So, unfortunately, what happens then is that you are then subject to the market forces of oppressiveness, which tend to dictate the way in which you live. Therefore, you have a state of economy which thrives upon the use of meat products and that kind of thing, quite simply because that appears to be an easier option than you fighting to try to find adequate foods which will still keep you in the healthy state that you desire to be in.
I think it's the health thing more than the taste.
Yes,
to be quite honest.
Let's not forget the fact that people in many years ago, hundreds of years ago, in fact, subsisted on very much a diet of meat, quite simply because it was an easier thing to do than to be in a fixed place and grow vegetables. Vegetation was something that was actually quite difficult to conceive of. I believe it was the Native Americans who actually were some of the first principles of peoples to actually learn and deal with the situations of cooking in and using vegetables as rotational crops.
Sowing seeds and...
Yes, and then moving to their hunting grounds and then coming back in the autumn to actually reap the benefits of the seeds that they sowed in the spring.
Oh, yes, I mean, generally, all around, eating meat is so much more convenient. You know, apart from anything, you don't have to be a good cook to be able to...
No.
...cook with meat and cook, a meal because...
It's a simpler thing to do.
It's dead simple. Whereas if you're cooking vegetarian food, apart from people not having the time these days,
You have to have the imagination.
Well, you have to have the ingredients, you have to have the time to do it.
Yes.
And the expertise to do it, really, to make it something that's going to be delicious.
Palatable, even.
Yes.
But, of course, in the spirit world, you don't necessarily have to eat anything because you don't have a physical body. But, of course, as I have said so often before, many people still do. And they will go to these beautiful restaurants and things like that if that's what they still imagine in their mind is the thing that drives their conscious state into being creative or whatever, then they will still keep to that form of lifestyle.
What about the people that have killed the animals for pleasure, like we were talking about, that go hunting? Do they still try and do that in the spirit world.
No, because they do not have the ability to do that, because they may want to or think that that is still their right to do that, but the animal will merely just stand and smile at them.
Yeah.
And of course, the point is as well, is that in the spirit world, as I was saying really, that one of the things that hits you almost immediately, if you have the consciousness to view it, and you have the consciousness to actually be able to be in that vibration, is the sheer beauty of it. The kaleidoscope of different beings who have lived and had a physical life, or perhaps who are waiting. Their actual intention of their auric fields, their beauty of coloration, the way in which they move, the way in which they sing, perhaps, or the other sounds or habits that they have as beings who have had a physical existence, and those habits still survive and strive. But that doesn't mean to say that lions will go chasing antelope and deer and different creatures and do that part of their physical life, because that's something that they don't have to do anymore. And in any event, most of these animals will have gone back to their own soul group, and that they will in fact be inherently happy in the vibration of that soul group, because that is a part of their evolutionary nature and state. Now, that does not mean to say that the spirits of these beings are in some way subservient to human consciousness and the avatars that become human consciousness in the acolytes and that kind of thing. If you are someone who is searching for spiritual freedom, you do not observe an antelope and call it a lesser being. You do not look at an aardvark and think that that is a lesser being. I saw an armadillo for the first time, I believe it was about 150 years ago.
Okay.
And I was really quite marveled that such a creature existed.
Mm.
What armaments they had,
mm-hmm.
and still have.
Mm.
But what really tickled me was the fact that they can be so funny and amusing.
Really? What,
they have an amazing sense of humor.
Really?
In their personality, yes.
Not a lot of people know that. How interesting. That's strange, because, well, yes, I mean, what other animals have got senses of humor?
Oh, there are very, very many, actually, I have to say. Yes. Hedgehogs are ones that, well, I wouldn't say they actually have a sense of humor, but they actually are they're more of a docile nature, and that they know when they need to be inanimate, and they like to practice being inanimate objects. And that's something that really, it's in their way of trying to be still so that you don't see them.
Well, even in the spirit world?
Oh, yes, and they'll do that in the spirit world.
And they curl up in a ball?
No. They will just freeze.
They just freeze and do nothing?
Yes, in mid-motion. They will just freeze.
The pause button.
And yes, absolutely. And it's just as though you are looking at a still picture of something, of a creature, you see?
Oh, that's really funny. Wow. We've come to time again.
Oh, really?
But, yeah, absolutely. I went really quick, didn't I?
Well.
So we didn't even get onto the subject that we were going to talk about.
No, but that's all.
That's
nice.
Great. We'll do that next week. Thanks.
Yes. Absolutely.
Okay, then. Well, that's been lovely. Thank you very much, Gregory.
Thank you. With love and light and blessings be upon your pathway.
God bless. Yeah, so if you'd like to join us on Thursday at 1 p.m. PST, we'll be here again, and obviously we'll be here next Monday too. And we hope you've enjoyed the show. Just like to mention that our website is www.spirit-teaching.com, where you can find out more about us and our books, our CDs. You can book yourself an Akashic reading if you want. Find out more about us in our workshops. Like I say, we'll be in Portland this weekend. And thank you so much for listening, and thank you for your phone calls. My name is Sylvie Avery. Until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Bye.